this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we give you another heaping helping of our personal picks. What did the guys choose this time around? Take a seat, pull out your 16-button control pad, and settle in as COL 218 starts now. Sunday, July 7th, 2013. I am Jeff.
Me, not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
I'm Eric.
I have an odd craving for the blood of a live Kolar beast.
I'm Gary.
Sassy gals, get the hose.
Welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Interior of the Lakes, episode number 218. And apparently, our host forgot their order.
Yes.
Even though I believe that it is. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. It's called Damon Doesn't Read. That's what it's called.
No, I wasn't expecting it. We got this order. It's me, Damon, Eric, Gary, Ben, if he's here. So it's always that order. It's like, that's the way it goes.
Oh.
Yeah. So
great attention to detail, people.
By the way, I did not put in the Damon's back on the dock there.
I did. Because Damon's back.
That's where the confusion came from.
I replaced Ben in the lineup with Damon's back. I took out Ben and I put Damon's back.
I know, which is perfectly logical. But then people got confused because they were looking at the list and they were doing it in a different order. It's okay. I mean, there's no problem. The intro was fine.
It means this shit is unrehearsed, people. That's what it is live and off the cuff.
Amen.
we're gonna try to get through all this shit today because we just kind of figured out what we were doing
this morning.
Yeah. Yesterday. So it was we're a little flustered, you could say. Mm. But moving on. What the fuck did I do this week? Absolutely nothing. Yeah, there you go. Oh, wait a minute. No, July 4th was kind of cool. A little exciting, although I didn't really have much excitement for it. So I'm here just being like, okay, day off, 4th of July, great. There's going to be like fireworks outside. I'm going to make sure Sonnet stays inside because she's probably freaked the fuck out with any fireworks going on. Which we received a notification, a little thing on the door saying, just remember that no one is to put fireworks on this complex. It is completely forbidden.
Ah.
So, and everything. So I'm walking Sonnet on July 4th morning at Independence Day. I turn it. Well, first off, at about 5 in the morning or something, I hear sirens. Oh. A lot of sirens that last for about like 10, 15 minutes or something. I'm like, I want to sleep in today. And it sounded a ways away. So I was like, okay, it's nowhere near here. There's just somebody driving down the highway, which is on the other side. And it's just the sirens are loud. No big deal. So I just sleep for a little longer, wake up. I finally take time for a walk. And I come out the door and I look to my right. And there's about like 3 fire trucks.
Wow.
Lined up down towards the other end of the complex. So we kind of walk around doing our normal route. And a couple of Red Cross people. I look up. There's a fire.
Oh.
Apparently it was on the news, but of course I don't watch the news. From a coworker of mine, apparently some asshole didn't know how on the second floor of building 8 didn't know how to put out his cigarette properly.
Oh.
And that was it. Here's the thing is, there was quite a bit of damage. It wasn't just like one apartment goes up and maybe spills over to another one, which is actually when I moved to my current apartment the last time I moved. That was essentially what it was. There was a fire in one apartment, and it kind of spilled over a little into another. But overall, it didn't do that much damage. There was still a roof and everything. So everything was fine. Well, there was still stuff to repair, but you know, no big deal. There's not a roof over a part of that building.
Wow.
You can see the burned singes. And, well, the entire complex doesn't have hot water because the gas company was like, oh, we're going to turn off your gas for right now.
Wow.
And, of course, they can't just turn it off to one building.
They got to turn it off to all. Wow.
So I have no hot water. Fortunately, the water was still, like, naturally lukewarm enough that it's easy to take a quick shower. Not that pleasant, but I wouldn't say it's a cold shower necessarily.
Mm.
Maybe just kind of lukewarm, which doesn't really help that much. But at least it's something that I can tolerate better than a cold shower. So we at least have some lukewarm water, and it's not all cold. But that's like the only real downside of what happened was
wow,
or at least for me. I'm sure there's plenty of people in Building 8 who are now displaced and probably lost a whole bunch of stuff. There was also the sprinklers were triggered through the entire building. Like, not just that area, that one apartment or the two apartments or something like that, but the sprinklers in the entire long building triggered. So some people are displaced because their apartment was flooded because of the sprinklers. So, but okay. So that's my pretty much the extent of my drama. Oh, looked at my checking account, found out I had a lot more money than I thought. So I was a little happy on that. Led me to get some stuff today. But
cool.
Necessities, nothing special. So that's my week.
Great.
Let's just go down the list here. Damon, what the F did you do this week? And
do you want just this week, or do you want like? Because I've been gone for like a month.
Oh, well, probably. I need to have my finger on the 7 key. I'm assuming I need my finger on the 7 key.
I guess so.
Okay.
But I wrote a list, so I'll make it quick.
Okay, cool.
Oh my God, Sally Field, it's not the fucking Oscars. Jesus. I wrote a list.
Oh my God.
Start the clock.
Okay. So, early June, Jim and I went on to Chicago for a week, a little over a week, to celebrate our 10-year anniversary. So, yay. We liked it. It was a good hotel. Lots of traffic because it's Chicago. I wrote this Touche, which is the leather bear bar there. I will give that a yes. We'll go there again. Jackhammer, which has a very deceptive name. We probably won't go there again. To put it simply, it's not a bear bar, but there are kind of bears there. It's not a leather bar, but they have a hole where leather code and leather dress is enforced. But it's nothing special, and it's nothing major. And and Jackhammer is connected to the leather shop that's in between the two bars, but there was nothing there for either of us to really enjoy, and the crowd was odd and awkward, so probably won't go there again. On the way back from the Chicago trip, I got strep throat.
Oh,
yeah. So
I got one for that.
Yeah. So we're going to assume, I'm assuming anyway, it was probably from someone in Chicago. I won't say any names, but it was probably from someone in Chicago. Because Jim doesn't have it. So there you go.
That's something to tell.
Yeah. So, but, and unfortunately, well, fortunately, Strep Throat kind of coincided with End of Trip and then coincided with the Men's Chorus concert.
Me not that kind of orc.
Oops.
Random.
Yeah, apparently he is that kind of orc.
Soundboard.
The one thing I can say, this was the concert that I was talking about a few months ago with that was the gay anthems and there was no real gay anthem in it and blah, blah, blah. And we were trying to figure out what was going on. It was gay history is the best way to put it. It was a musical reference to our gay history, learning from the past, some music from the present kind of thing. It was, I didn't really know this until, part of the concert, we had a script or a monologue that was kind of read by my husband. It kind of told the timeline of, you know, the struggles and the rights and gave a good perspective on why songs were chosen and certain songs were chosen for this concert. I now know why we sang Skyfall. I didn't know that until the Thursday before the show concert. So
why did you sing Skyfall?
Why did we sing Skyfall? It was for the sexually ambiguous characters that cropped up during the early 60s in regards to movies. A lot of them like Dr. No and whatnot, where you have this sexually ambiguous, where it was kind of trampling on the idea that gays were bad. I didn't really get it. That's kind of what it. That's Bill what does. We
said it.
Yeah. But I now knew why he chose that song was before because of that. Even now, there's still this because Skyfall. There was a sexually ambiguous villain in the most recent movie, and that's why we sang the song. Anyway. Because of the strep throat, I almost didn't do this concert, and I actually I literally sent the email, like, I don't think I'm going to do this concert, but they asked Jim to read the script, and they were like, you know, they weren't really pressuring, but it was just like, I would have felt weird being in the audience with my husband being on stage in a Men's Chorus concert, so I worked hard and got through the music and learned it. And memorized it, and fortunately got better in time. So yay for that! During the Men's Chorus concert, the same weekend as the Men's Chorus concert, there was a event here called Kink U. It was a leather
Oxford University tie-in. Sorry.
It was a. Leather fetish class session kind of thing. They had classes all day, like a flogging 101, a BDSM relationship class that was led by Miss Tammy. Hi, Miss Tammy. All these other like rope bondage and things like that. It was just meant to kind of give people who were interested an opportunity to learn and hear about and talk about these things that in a lot of ways a lot of people don't know about. So it was very informative, most of the classes. I had a really great time. I came in during the afternoon and left right before I had to head to the concert. So I spent a lot of time there, spent several hours there, had a great time, met a couple of nice people. It was fun. I like the idea behind it. I only wish that the people who did it made sure that they went through proper channels. I'll leave it at that. The following weekend was Pride here in Cincinnati. It was the 40th anniversary of Pride of a Pride Festival. And it was great. The parade I heard was really great. Because of all the, you know, sickness and everything that's been going on, I did not march in the parade. I did not feel like I was up for it. But I went later in the afternoon, sang with the Men's Chorus, manned the Scorpius booth. Debbie Gibson was our featured headline performer. She was terrible.
Aww.
Let me rephrase. She was not terrible. She was just off key a lot. But
so I think much has changed in 20 years.
Yeah. I mean she's gorgeous and the music was nice. She only did a couple of her actual songs. She did a lot of covers. She did a really, really bad like 80s, 90s mix of songs that was just like you're ruining every song I ever loved about the 80s and 90s right now in this one piece. Please stop singing. And it was just one of those things where I'm just sitting there going, and she kept going, and I was like, because the songs that would come up, I was just like, no, don't sing that song. Damn it. But anyway, the festival went really well, had a lot of fun, blah, blah, blah. And then finally for the fourth, I'll skip a couple of weeks to this week. Me and Jim saw Despicable Me, which I'll be talking about later. Had a really great time. And yesterday went to, one of the Scorpius members, Miss Kate, hosted us for like a, you know, potluck to, you know, get together and talk and see her again. And, cause she's been out of commission for quite a while and now she's just getting better and she's back on the scene. And it was really nice to kind of have a low key evening, just sitting and talking and learning more about her side of things. And we got a new perspective on some of the stuff that we're doing in Scorpius now. So that is all that's on my list. So there we go.
8 minutes and 30 seconds.
Woohoo!
All right.
Well, Eric.
I'll be shorter. Mm-hmm. So what did I do this week? Most of it I worked. Big surprise there. Our fourth was nice. Our friend Kelby came down to stay with us. So we had him through this morning, really.
Yay.
Pardon me there. It was his birthday, so we went and took a surprise trip yesterday down to Delaware and went to one of his favorite restaurants and did some shopping. And it was a lot of fun. We've ended up getting back into the Warhammer hobby, which means I'll be spending a lot of time assembling things and painting them for the next year or 10.
Well, you're doing a similar thing with your Legos there. It's just kind of taking it to the next level.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. And other than that, I've tried to stay out of the sun because everybody wants to go outside this time of year, and it's the worst weather for me.
Oh, so, allergies?
No. I have some medical conditions, and one of them leaves me extremely vulnerable to heat problems. So if I get too hot, I have problems I have heat strokes very easily, so I don't like being outside too long.
Gotcha. Huh.
So anyway, that was my week. Gary, what have you been up to?
I worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Got caught up on some stuff. Thursday was the holiday.
Yeah.
My mother informed me the day before that she wanted to go shopping for a new mattress and box springs on the holiday. And I asked her why. She informed me that there were local businesses that were having sales for the holiday. Because nothing says patriotism like shopping for furniture.
It's the Independence Day sale. Don't you understand?
No son wants to think about their mother's independence in bed. Come on.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Nothing says patriotism like commercialism. There you go.
Yeah. So anyways, so we did that. And actually, it went a lot faster than expected because as soon as Mom told me that she wanted to do that, I was like, well, where do you want to go? And what do you want to do? And all this kind of stuff. And she had some ideas, but she wasn't sure. And the big thing was she wanted to know if anybody did delivery and disposal. So I was already out traveling around town, so I just stopped at two of the furniture stores. One of them I have nothing nice to say about because I walked around for 20 minutes, walked past seven salespeople, and none of them greeted me or interacted with me.
Ouch.
Yeah. So I kind of got disgusted and very annoyed. So I left, took a flyer from the front. No, Damon, it was not Macy's. It's a local chain store, or not even a chain store. It's just a local store to here. But they advertise all the time, which is funny because I'm like, since you have the biggest showroom in like the frickin' county and you have such nice stuff, you would think your damn people would want to do their job. But anyways.
Oh, yeah.
No, you can't have good customer service and a lot of merchandise. You have to have a small bit of merchandise and a lot of, for the lot of customer service. It's kind of like a balancing act. You have to have more of one in order, or less of one in order to have more of the other.
Yeah, so anyways, I was highly irritated. So I left and I went to the other place, which actually is a chain with less inventory, so to speak, and was greeted as soon as I walked in by a gentleman from the back of the store. He had spotted me and he said, "Are you here for a pickup or delivery?" And I said, "No." I said, "I'm actually here for shopping to ask some questions." And he said, "Oh." And I could tell I caught him off guard, so he came walking up and introduced himself, and we chatted for a couple minutes, and within about 7 minutes, I had all my answers. Nice. So I informed him that I appreciated him talking to me and that I had been to his competitor and that I thought his competitor was shit because of how I was treated. Oh, I forgot to mention, anyways, I left the store, and I took the flyer, and then I called them from my car on the cell phone trying to get someone to at least talk to me. I got transferred twice, and I was on the phone for about 10 minutes and never spoke to a single person.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's why I'm pissed off at them, and I have nothing nice to say about them. So I was like, because what pissed me off was there's seven of you motherfuckers sitting in the store doing nothing. One of y'all should be able to pick up the damn phone for sales. Yeah. But that being said, so that kind of went short for the holiday, and then I didn't really have anything else to do for the holiday. The thing is, Mom's thing screwed up my day because I had planned on going to a campground for the day that a local bear group that I know was doing an outing and having a pool party and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, she wanted to go shopping right in the middle of the day, and that kind of screwed everything up. And I'm not bitter. Just upset and annoyed. So anyways, so we got that done, and then I had to work on Friday anyway, so I worked Friday. Friday I got caught up on some things. It was deadly quiet because, oh, that's right, pretty much everybody took off on Friday for a long weekend.
Yeah.
But some of us had to work because everybody can't take Friday off.
No. Yeah, well also everybody takes Friday off and calls their mortgage servicer about their payments.
So I turned around and worked Friday, and then found myself with nothing to do for the weekend, basically, which was kind of boring. So I turned around and got a hold of friends of mine, and I went out to their place, and we played video games and drank and had pizza and chatted and was up very late at night. It was actually quite a bit of good fun. They just moved from a one-bedroom apartment to a two-bedroom apartment. So they moved from a little space to a much bigger space.
Nice.
So they were happy to show off the new location. So, and actually, it was funny because we chatted about some things. One of them listens to our show pretty regularly while he's at work. He puts headphones in and listens to the podcast. And he apparently, I believe, has kind of drawn looks because he, you know, laughs out loud. And then we were watching. So we played games. Okay, so here's the thing. I haven't really played console games. At least I call them console games. I don't know what the hell they're called now.
They're called console games.
Okay, good. See, I'm not that.
If they're not on an actual computer and they're on a box which is connected to a TV, it's a console game.
You're okay. Hip to what the kids say.
Yeah, so we played Little Big Planet.
Oh. That's a great game.
On the PS3? Yeah, well, I'm not good at games, period. Like, especially newer video games. It always takes me a long time to kind of get coordinated. So they hand me the remote. Okay, this is – the three of you probably already know this, so I'm just going to bitch to the people who listen to the podcast who don't know this. They hand me the remote, and it has 16 motherfucking buttons.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Are you counting 15, 16, the sticks?
No.
Each stick clicks in for a second button, though.
Oh, there you go.
Well, that would probably make 18. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I was highly irritated over this because they're like, well, just do the – and I'm like, do what? And they're like, press R1, press R2, press U1, press the circle, press the square, press the star, press the – and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I've never played this game. I've never used this console. I don't know this controller. And I'm like, yeah, it's no wonder. So they were like, oh, Little Big Planet's so fun, and it's so easy, and it's not difficult to learn. And I'm like, right.
Well, here's one thing that really annoys me about the PlayStation is the – what is the problem with having A, B, X, Y for the buttons? Why have the circle, square, triangle, X?
I believe they were copyrighted when they came out with the controller.
Was that a Nintendo thing?
I think it was a Sega thing, actually. Well, no, Nintendo had it, so I think it is a Nintendo thing.
Anyways.
That's lame.
So we were playing it, and it was kind of interesting, and another friend of ours who had come over, there was four of us, and all he did was basically watch. And then it was funny because I was like, all right, like, it was sort of cute and kind of fun, but I didn't really get the point of it. So we moved on to playing... Oh, I forget what the name of it is. But Eric, you know this one because as we were playing it, the one thing happened. Well, no, I take that back. Maybe I heard it on a different podcast. Anyways, it's a Marvel game.
Marvel
I'm totally
going
to screw this up.
Marvel versus Capcom 3, most likely.
Now.
No.
The whole point of it is they call it the button masher game, which made me laugh like hell, which is true. Because all you do is you hit a lot of buttons to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, I think Eric was right.
No. Because supposedly the storyline is that Superman went bad.
Ah, it's DC. This is Injustice. Gods amongst us.
Yes.
Yeah, this
that
is
would
DC.
Be what it is.
That would be.
See, I don't know anything about any of this kind
DC,
of comic
DC. Superman is DC.
Whatever. I don't care. I realize I'm pissing people off, but whatever. So anyways, we played that, and that was fucking hysterical as hell because actually the fourth that joined us, he actually did play, and the two of us were beating the shit out of each other. And at one point – so here's the question. Jeff or Eric or Damon, do any of you have this game?
I do.
Okay, so Eric, you know what happens when you do Aquaman's superpower or whatever the hell.
Yes. The entire area floods up with seawater. He spikes you on his trident and feeds you to a shark.
Yes. I didn't know this was the game. Either you told this before or I heard it on another podcast where they talked about the game and they mentioned that this was like the best, coolest move ever. In fact, it might have been Kevin Smith that had mentioned this or whatever, that he was blown away by the concept of what they did with Aquaman because he was always considered not to be very cool or very like have good superpowers or whatever. So anyways, I was playing against my friend and they're like, oh my God, you have your superpower, press R1 or whatever the hell it is. And so I did. And then all of a sudden the whole thing floods. I speared my friend and like the shark ate him. I could not stop squealing with joy and glee. And they were like, oh my God, you did it. It was so
fun. I wish that was videotaped.
It was quite fun. Anyways, so, but I agree with them. It's a button smasher game. There's no point to the damn game other than to beat each other up, basically.
Well, yeah, that's the concept of a fighting game.
Well, I didn't know that, and I'm more of an adventurer.
It's been around since like Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat.
Again, we're going back to I don't play games very much, so
they're very popular. You shouldn't know these things, anyways.
No, I should not. I live in a bubble of my own world of things. Just like when I start talking about foodie stuff, some people kind of like get glazy eyes and walk away because that's not their world either. So
they're like, whatever.
So that was Friday night. played games, ate pizza, drank a bunch of wine, stayed up very late. And then and Saturday, slept in very late, which was kind of funny because somebody asked me why I was getting up so late. And I said, because, oh, my friend Drew, he's up from Florida. He's over in Michigan visiting family and friends. And he said something about, I said that I just got up at like 12:30 or 1 o'clock on Facebook. I said, I suppose I should get my day started. He's like, I've been going since 7 a.m. I was like, fuck you. we're and best friends. Like,
yeah, but I got to sleep in.
Well, I told him, I said, I went to bed at 5 a.m., so there would be a reason why I'm just getting up now. Yeah. So anyways, went to the local Pride organization's meeting and caught up on what's going on with them with some stuff. We had our picnic last month, so this is kind of our post-picnic sort of wrap-up meeting. Plus, we also had we're planning a rally coming up later this year and drag bingo and some other stuff. So I'm becoming a little bit more active in their participation and things of that nature. So I did that yesterday, and then I kind of lazed around, and I caught up on some television shows and watched a movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And surprised myself by staying up late again, which was not intended, actually. Friday night was, fuck it, I don't have to do anything on Saturday. But today I'd planned on getting some cleaning done, which I did. So cleaned the bathroom, got a bunch of cleaning done in the kitchen and that. So... And it was quite funny because you guys were so worried about the correct time for today. I laughed because I had seen the emails coming in. Like, I slept in and I woke up right before we were theoretically going to start this afternoon.
You had too? Yeah.
And then I caught the emails and I was like, oh, so we're not recording this afternoon. So
back to bed.
No. I didn't go – well, I didn't leave bed, but I didn't go back to sleep.
There you go.
And then I decided after a little while, I'm like, I should get up and get some shit done. Okay. So
that was your day. That was your weekend, which was like twice as long as Damon's
month.
Or at least that's what it feels. I wasn't actually timing it because I didn't think I need to.
Fuck off.
We love you, Gary. We really do.
Mm-hmm. Sure you do.
Oh. All right. Moving on. So I see we got another thing in here. Do we have something for that?
For what?
I don't know.
For the highlighted item in the
show notes?
Nothing? You just got to put it there. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't put it there.
It wasn't. I didn't put it there. Okay. But it's gone now. So there you go.
Okay. So in any case, I love how we're all cryptic. Again, off the cuff. Moving on to this. Oh. Yes! An early edition of Love on Craigslist. Bringing the best of love and lust to you. Although I do have to say that my pick... out of Tampa, Florida here. Isn't necessarily about love or lust.
Damn it. It's gone.
What?
It's gone.
What's gone? But
the actual link, the ad is gone.
The ad is gone? Okay. Fortunately, I still have it up, but I'm just going to paste the text there for you. So it's... hold on. Let me actually quickly switch mics here to, so I can properly do this without
my goodness.
Hold on. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody angry.
Yeah, so
hey, I love
so,
that.
Yeah, so hold on a second here. Let me switch mic.
Oh my god.
Okay, so here it is. I'm gonna first read the title and then I'll stop. And then I'll read the rest of it, because if I just like read it all together, it would sound like it's all one big thing, but it's
okay.
Okay, here we go. We've got Tammy takes cash, gives back black clap, HIV AIDS, and
Women for a Man, 99.
The Hasp! Okay, and the actual content is, check out Black Clap! No cure! HIV, you know, stay away from this fat, stinky bitch! Oh my god.
Oh my god. This under casual encounters.
Casual encounters? More like, I don't even want to call that a mystery.
Here's the thing is, I have no idea what she's talking about.
I mean, I'm assuming somebody had sex with whoever this is and got the clap.
Yep, somebody went swimming without a wetsuit.
Dun dun dun.
Nano guys.
You know, stay away from this fat, sticky bitch. The only thing is, it's not, I mean, I suppose Tammy would be the name of the person, but I don't know, it just seems very vague on. I don't know. All it is like a warning, stay away from this person. But,
stay away from Tammy.
I'm not quite sure who you're talking about.
Stay away from Tammy because she'll give you the crap.
But then there's HIV/AIDS.
And HIV. She's probably a whore. No, she's a fat, stinky bitch. That's what she is.
Yeah, we know she's a fat, stinky bitch, but I don't know. So
if you're in Tampa and you see somebody who's big and smells bad, stay clear. What you think you would do anyway.
I bet it's a woman. But it's a woman, so.
18, 20-year-old, something like that, that was at the concert and
I hope
fixed up this dude.
And I hope the audio engine didn't overload before we said.
So. Oh no.
Well, restart. We're back. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, so we had a
person with the Kesha.
Now we have Kesha. Actually we have a cute glass. Little cub or big cub. It could be tall. I mean, do you know have you ever seen how tall those stages are?
I haven't.
His head's got to be about at least be two feet above the stage level. Yeah. And the stages are usually about 5 feet high.
So he might be tall.
Yeah. So he might actually be really tall. And that's like a camera angle from like they're holding it above their head or something. And yeah, I don't think he's probably like 7 feet tall, but you know,
yeah,
he's above, his head is above stage level, so maybe it's only 4 feet high or something.
It could be.
He's probably a good 6 feet.
Yeah, average, maybe a little above average.
Yeah, but he's a stocky.
He's adorable. He's adorable. I will give him that.
Adorable. Anyways.
Alrighty.
So you picked that one because the guy in question was adorable.
Yeah, he was kind of cute, and the ad was kind of funny.
All right. And I picked mine because I couldn't tell if it was a personal ad or a housing ad. It is Livid Sex Slave, Man for Man, 24 in Lower Delaware.
Okay, what?
Sorry, it's a hot mess. Just a freaky white male, willing to do anything to keep you satisfied, and willing to do anything for a place to stay. No limit sex slave, no bullshit, real people only. HMU? I have no clue what that is. Oh, hit me up. I'm getting that on podcast end off. Hit me up, put Big Dick Daddy in subject line, can't wait, find my daddy, more details when you email me, and trust me, I'm hot. What I mean by sex slave is you can do anything you want to me, but you will have to come pick me up. Looking to come live as soon as possible. I'm very good cocksucker and got a virgin ass that needs to be broken in.
Wow.
So it sounds to me like somebody just had a breakup.
And I hate to say this, but which one is it?
Probably the one with a toddler, but you never know.
I know, right? It's like, if you're going to post a picture and you're going to put, like, live-in sex slave and you're a bottom and, a you know, basically a whore, might want to not have the child in it.
Well, that's the surprise when the daddy picks him up at Family Five.
Oh, God.
There we go.
Hey!
It's a Ben! God help us all.
It's a Ben, yeah, no kidding.
Hey, Ben.
I just walked in from work, so I'm feeling fabulous.
Yeah, fantastic.
So what are we talking about?
Well, we were just talking about a living sex slave.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What, yeah, 24 of Delaware.
So. He's picked up today to live in, so you know it's a deep committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm moving right away.
Moving on.
Unless you have any other comments about Olivia's like it.
I'm kind of glad I missed that one.
All right, Gary.
I stayed in New Jersey. I don't know if I'm ever going to leave the state. I just keep finding stuff. This is not my pick. This one's really short, but I thought there was something very wrong about it. It's called Black Executive Looking for Thug.
Oh, God.
And it says, Black Executive Looking for Black or Rican Thug to Chill With. Send stats and pics very discreet. You be the same.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. And I was like, it just blew my mind. I was like, And this is not to sound ignorant. It's not that there can't be a black executive. What threw me was that a black executive is self-describing that way and wants to hook up with a described thug.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the opposites attract thing theory sometimes.
Ain't that the, well, and that's true because God only knows been there.
He's all prim and proper during the day, but does he want to get down and dirty at night?
Maybe. So the one I picked, which I don't necessarily expect to win, is called Blindfolded, Naked, and Door Open.
So a standard app.
Yeah, it says, I have a fantasy of being blindfolded and waiting with the door unlocked. You walk in, lock the door behind you. I will be on my knees, naked, blindfolded, in whatever position you had commanded. You walk in, have total access to my mouth and ass. If you're into rough play, my nipples and cock and balls are yours to abuse as well. Grab my hair, fuck my face, hold me down, fuck my ass. When you're done, come whenever you want, get dressed, and leave. I will stay blindfolded until you are gone, totally on the DL. In order to do this, you will need to be able to text me so I know when you arrive. Need to do this soon. So, it sounds like a pretty basic ad. It's rather descriptive and to the point.
But
it also invites a serial killer.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
You just figured this out? I mean,
I was like, who posts this shit? Like, I will be blind when you come in. I will be blind until you leave. I'll be blind when I die, gurgling in my own blood when you slit my throat. What the fuck?
And you can't guarantee it's going to be blood. It could be your feces. It could be his urine. Yeah.
I was like, this is a Dexter episode. Waiting to happen.
Yeah.
No, Dexter,
knocks him out. They need to take him to the separate place, then dismember.
No, absolutely not. Disapprove. Try again.
It's the whole. Yeah, we've got that problem, and it's I. If you've seen anything, well, YouTube or XTube, I've seen the videos, but they do this whole thing where they invite someone over and blah blah blah, and. I just can't, I really can't see how it would work. And yeah, you might have their phone number, and if you're smart, you'll get a picture and maybe some, like an email address so that you can, you know, if something happens and you're still alive.
Yeah, but you know, they're not that smart.
Yeah, some are, some aren't. But that would be
just... It goes against everything I know of, which I know little about BDSM play. I was like, what? I was like, first of all, you don't know the person you're hooking up with. I'm like, anyways, I'm not even going to go through the list. Bad form. Denied.
Yeah, that's mildly. Wow. Like I said, what have I walked into?
Yeah.
Oy vey.
Episode. And by the way, how about you?
It needs to be about 20% cooler.
Yes, I'm here and I'm back. And actually, yes, I do have one. I had to find it on the fly. It's entitled, Well, Hot Damn, You Can Finally Get Those Shelves Hung. Chores for a BJ? 50 experienced handyman available to help you with chores you may need done. Most all repairs and or refurbishments.
I don't know. The audio engine apparently likes to overload. I don't think we're overdoing it or anything. Anyways, I'm not doing anything else. Anyways, moving on. So this week we decide to kind of do a relatively simple topic. What we're going to do here is run through some of our favorites or just some random picks that some people may not have known about or something that you think people should see or do or well, we've got... We put down some categories, movies, TV, music, books, for media, but then we have other, which would be, you know, I mean, it's almost always, like our standard picks.
How other always turns out.
You never know. So let's start off with the movies. Damon, you were talking about a movie earlier today.
Yeah, as I mentioned on Independence Day, Jim and I went to see Despicable Me 2. It's a cute, fun sequel to the first one. To put it simply, it was cute, it was funny, it wasn't as funny as the first one, had a different story angle, blah blah blah. You had more of, I think the problem was that the first one you got like who the characters were and all the minions and all of that stuff, and this one you kind of, they worked on what we already know. So if you've never seen the first one, you may not get the second one. Actually, you won't get it at all. You won't really understand why what's happening is happening. So if you're going to go see Despicable Me 2, see Despicable Me 1, the first one first.
That's why I'm glad I picked it up on Netflix.
There you go. So yeah, enjoy. Okay.
Moving on, I've got actually two picks for this category. One's actually an actual movie. One's, well, it's on DVD. Fortunately, not streaming anywhere. I hate that. The first one is one of my favorite movies, The Fifth Element. If you haven't seen this movie, what's wrong with you? I'm not saying to like it or not. It just, you know, see it. Movie. Yeah, I think it's a really good movie. I think everybody should think that it's a really good movie. But if you don't think it's a good movie, something's wrong with you. But you should at least see it.
You know what the neat thing about that movie is? Do you know that a lot of guys who install home theaters use that as their test movie?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it's got a lot of good sound as well as video for doing the testing.
Alrighty.
So everybody should already have seen The Fifth Element. If they haven't, what's wrong with you?
Thank you.
You probably haven't seen before is The Complete History of America Abridged on DVD. It's actually a play by the Reduced Shakespeare Company. So you may actually see it on stage, if you can't, getting it on DVD, which right now I can only really find, you can find some sources through Amazon, but it's not from Amazon, you know, it's the third party sources. If you go to reduceshakespeare.com/RSCE-shop or just reduceshakespeare.com, click on shop, you can actually purchase it right directly from them.
Cool.
And it is hilarious. I mean, all of their shows are hilarious. I've got the Bible and the radio version that they did, or the CD, the audio version that they did with that. And I've seen their Complete History or Complete Works of William Shakespeare Bridge, their flagship one.
That one is incredible.
Which is fantastic. Just since Austin Titchener and Reed Martin joined the band during band and then suddenly started writing these additional shows, they've already gotten like all the great books. They've got all the great books, Completely Hollywood. They recently wrote a Christmas show. They also wrote The Complete World of Sports Abridged. And they're actually working on The Complete History of Comedy Abridged, which they haven't come out with. And speaking of which, also check out their podcast. It's quite cool.
There's a podcast, really.
Yeah, and it's not like a show podcast. It's really kind of more of a behind the scenes, some topics somehow related to theater or, you know, acting or producing or something like that. So it's not just about just them doing a weekly show. Like they were going to be doing the complete news abridged or something for a TBS or something that never went anywhere. So they were going to do like a weekly thing about the weekly news and make jokes, basically like a weekly weekend update, I suppose, sort of thing. But that didn't go through. But the podcast is really cool because they have interviews with a whole bunch of people that they come across with and just kind of have these behind the scenes stories. And they talk when they were writing the complete history of or complete world of Sports Abridged. They talked a little bit about the process. And they're talking a little bit about the process of their new show, too. So it's a very interesting podcast about the about what's going on in the background. And they're just great and funny people. So
one thing I got to add real quick about The Fifth Element is that I saw it in the theater when it came out. It was good. Mm-hmm. But you know, that was also, seriously, me and the ex, we had a home theater system set up. Nice, you know, Dolby 5.1 whole nine yards. And I got to say, I think it's actually a better movie in a home theater than it is at the theater.
Hmm.
And it's a good story too.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's awesome.
Bruce Willis pulls it off yet again.
And
it's green.
Chris Tucker as Ruby Rod.
Yeah.
You gotta have some fun. You gotta have some fun and humor in it too.
Mm-hmm. Thrilled.
And I believe that was Mia Jovovich's first movie in the United States. I know it was her first English speaking movie.
Hmm. Interesting. Quick pro tip. All right. Moving on. What do you got, Eric?
Well, mine is a movie that you would definitely not be using to test your home theater. It is The Dama Brothers. It's a documentary. It's about 6 years old now. And what it is it's following a group of inmates at the Donaldson Correctional Facility. It was filmed, I think, in 2001 through 2004. But what it's doing is it follows a group of inmates who had severe emotional problems and weren't fitting in well. They decided to take a class that was being offered by some meditation practitioners, and it's the build-up, and then they're taking this class in Vipassana meditation. It's a 10-day-long course if you've never heard of Vipassana. You can take it at a lot of places, but it's a 10-day course that is very ritualized. You've got a set of things you do over the 10 days. Every day it's getting up. It's, you know, A, B, C, D. But it's done in complete silence. Nobody speaks for 10 days. And wow. It's how they got the rights to do it. This program really changed a lot of these guys' lives and outlook on how they dealt with things. And it's kind of sad because right after they filmed this, it was actually shut down because Christians in the area heard about the program and complained that it was teaching Buddhism because it was a meditation class. You actually sit and watch, and, you know, they don't do anything religious whatsoever. It's, you know, just dealing with your own inner turmoil for 10 days.
Hmm. Welcome to the Christian right in America.
Yeah, but it's really cool at this point because they've got an afterword where they're meeting up with some of these guys, you know, years after the class, and you get to see how their attitudes have changed and how, you know, they're got a lot more peace in their life. So,
nice.
I don't know. When it gets hot like this, I always think of, you know, my nightmare would be to be trapped inside a building with no air conditioning, and of course they do not put air conditioning in these facilities.
No, they do not.
So I always feel grateful, and, you know, my heart goes out to these guys at this time of year.
Yep, God only knows I spent 7 of those summers like that. So,
Hey, Gary.
Mine is based on a book, but not only do I enjoy the book, but I also like the movie. It's called What Dreams May Come by the author Richard Matheson, who actually recently passed away, I want to say 1 to 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
The book is, to me, probably the most profound thing I've ever read. I spent college and post-college reading a lot of books about higher plane thinking and universal theories and just a whole bunch of different stuff about, you know, trying to figure out why we're here, why we exist, what is life, all that kind of stuff. And this particular book is really interesting because it's a fictional account based off of Matheson read studies and case studies and like reports and things on what people said they experienced when they thought they died and then they came back to life. So it's really interesting. It's a storyline about a gentleman who dies years after his wife has died, and it's his journey in the afterlife to try to save her from hell. It's pretty wild, and it was made into a movie. Cuba Gooding Jr. is in the movie, and so is Robin Williams. The movie kind of got panned, although I do think it won an Oscar for best visual or special effects. So it was. I liked the movie. It was just as good, in my opinion, as the book, even though they're a little bit different. So if anyone ever has an interest in kind of seeing something really visually interesting about the concept of what life is after you die and that kind of stuff, I'd suggest you check it out.
Cool. Ben?
My pick is the 1999 P.T. Anderson, and I call this one a classic, Magnolia. And if this tells you anything, in the opening prologue, a narrator goes over three events of incredible coincidence. Then you fast forward to the present-day San Fernando Valley, where you watch how the lives of six people who don't really have a lot to do with each other, even know each other. And you find how their lives are actually very much intertwined with each other. And the best part of this whole movie, it rains frogs. Seriously, it rains frogs.
Nice.
But it's just absolutely incredible. The story, and it's one of the few Tom Cruise movies I actually like because he's playing a total douchebag. I think he's one in real life too, but it's just interesting to see him go from total douchebag to crying, whimpering child. All in the period of the movie. This is kind of a long movie. I kind of recommend if you're going to watch it, be ready to sit there for a while because I want to say it runs. Yeah, it's 188 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it is a long movie. You're looking at over 3 hours from beginning to end, but it's definitely worth it. Julianne Moore, Tom Cruise, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Melora Walters, if y'all remember her, she was the mom in A Christmas Story. And I'd never seen her do anything else but that one movie. So, you know, for me, it was kind of interesting seeing her play a totally different role. But this actually is a very star-studded cast. Orlando Jones is in it. Luis Guzman's in it. It's pretty packed. But then again, P.T. Anderson has always been able to get, you know, some pretty big names in all of his movies. So, and of course, it's available on Netflix, on Amazon, and all that good stuff.
Cool.
Over 3 hours and no hobbits.
Yes. Lots of frogs.
Moving on into TV, Damon.
Alrighty. So, I'm going to make this short and sweet. I picked Big Brother. And yes, it's a reality TV show, but it's one of these reality TV shows that I've just, for whatever reason, I cannot stop watching. I know it's crap. I know there is no point in watching it beyond like the first, you know, the ending, the last episode. But I, for whatever reason, every year since my friend got me hooked on it 11 years ago, I cannot stop watching it. I watch it every season, every summer. And it has its hooks in me. And this year's season has been quite controversial already. And it's only been on for 2 weeks because of all of the comments that some of the cast members have been making during the live internet feed. Very homophobic, very racist comments that they've been making. I believe two people who are in the house have already lost their jobs once they leave the house. One member who is the only kind of bearish guy of the cast, Spencer, There's been talk of him possibly losing his job as well. So, you know, it's very interesting and very, and very controversial, I guess is the best way to put it. So, but yeah, it's one of these shows that for whatever reason, I cannot stop watching.
I don't remember.
How are these?
Do you actually say the name of the show?
Big Brother. I said it twice.
I don't remember it.
Oh, okay. How are these guys Americans able to still have a job after taking 6 weeks off for a reality show?
Well, Amy. I know my job.
Yeah, see, that looks good to a lot of companies because it shows that they care about their employees to let them off. Maybe they'll drop a name in there.
I don't know. I feel lucky to have my 2 weeks, and anything more than that, you've got to either be squatting at a kid or going over to Iraq.
My job offers, depending on how long you've been, I think you get about, I want to say 20, but I know it's not that much. But you can take, like, so many months of unpaid leave. Granted, it's unpaid, but...
CBS is going to pay you.
Yeah, you can leave, take this leave, do something like this, and then, you know, your job is supposedly supposed to be secure. I won't say it, you know, for certain, but depending on what happens, especially if you work in the store, it might be there.
But I know some employers, they've actually gone back and done, like, documentaries on some of these people that have been on these shows, and some of them, their employers graciously gave him the time off in hopes that they would drop the name of the company or why not?
The advertising.
Yeah. So there's mine, Big Brother. Jeff?
Mine is a guilty pleasure.
Is that what they call it?
The Power Rangers.
Yay!
And I just say Power Rangers, not any specific season. Because I'm currently in the sixth season, which is in space.
Nice.
Working through it. And also, let's take a look at Mega Ranger, the Sentai version of it. I like this one better.
Hmm.
I don't like the Power Rangers better. But I like seeing both looks of it, because it's like, what's the original like? And Mega Ranger isn't in space, although their ship is in space. But it's supposed to be about, like, digital.
Hmm.
Slight cool. Difference. So,
Power Rangers. Yeah.
I always wanted to know what ever happened to the Plaid Ranger.
There was no Plaid Ranger.
There should have been.
Alrighty.
Yeah, we know that boy ain't right.
Yeah, whatever. That boy ain't right, yeah.
Well, my pick is The IT Crowd, a British sitcom that ran from, 2006 to 2010.
I heard about this one.
It is drop-dead, absolutely hilarious. You don't have to be a computer guy to enjoy it, because most of it is just, a workplace comedy with a lot of geeky elements to it. But it was a launch pad for a number of excellent actors, including Chris O'Dowd, who has started to get quite an American thing. He's got an HBO show now. He was in He's in a lot of shit now. Richard Ayoade, who he was in something on. Oh God, I'm not selling this very well, am I? he had a bit of a cult thing early on in his career. He was in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which was this really terrible comedy spoof of kind of Stephen King and the horror genre and selling things on TV.
Hmm.
But he started to do a lot of movies now, and he's becoming quite popular now in the United States too. But it's just drop-dead hilarious. The whole premise of the show is you've got this IT department that's completely neglected and this super powerful corporation, and you've got a new manager who lied on her resume and said she had IT skills, so she was put in charge of the IT department. So it's the complete nitwit manager who has the people skills, but no professional skills whatsoever. And the two guys who have no social skills and then way too much technical ability.
Wow.
Very cool. Gary?
Mythbusters is mine. I'm not caught up on all of the seasons, but no matter what, whenever I watch an episode, I feel like I get educated and entertained, and that's what I like about watching TV shows.
Ah.
Mythbusters is definitely a good one.
Yeah.
And then I'm going back about 30 years to Norman Lear's classic, Mary Hartman. Mary Hartman, the entire first season is available on YouTube. I hope maybe we'll have the link to this in there somewhere, maybe, possibly. You click on it and subscribe to my channel at the same time. You can watch the entire first season. This was Norman Lear's take on bad 70s soap operas. And the really scary thing is, I think he got it right.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Moving on to music.
Alrighty. So, this is an ear. Basically, this is an earworm that will not get out of my ear. It's this song called Wings. It's Little Mix, this, I think, British girl group. And I love the song. Watch the video. The video makes absolutely no sense. And if you have a epileptic disorder, you probably don't want to watch the video.
Thanks for the warning.
Because it literally, it flashes like every second something new is on. If you have ADD, you will love this video. So it's just, it's a cute little song. I get the message, but I don't, but that's about it. I love the song, and yeah, it's just an earworm for right now. So there you go.
So,
yeah.
Unlike these folks, I didn't go with this song. I went with a combination of band and album. Because, well, there was unfortunately only one album by this band called Red Delicious. And by the way, there seems to be another band who is now called Red Delicious. Of course, the original Red Delicious I'm referring to. Which, by the way, was on mp3.com when I first found them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I got that album. So they had an album called Emotional Blur on mp3.com, an acoustical blur. And they eventually got an actual official studio album, which called Addictions and Scars. And that's my pick today is for the album, because it's a fantastic album. One of the songs, although I do have to say that one of the songs, as it transitioned from Emotional Blur to Addictions and Scars, had a major change to it, which feels very, very awkward and kind of annoyed me, but I still absolutely love the song. So take that for what you will. I really think of them as kind of garbage-esque. It's actually one of my managers when I was working at Shopko in Rochester. He was a huge Garbage fan, and then he recommended this band to me, and I immediately got hooked on it, especially when I heard their song Want Me, which on mp3.com they had it as Want Me, period. So it's like almost like a command instead of a just a Want Me. So I kind of like that idea. And then on the actual Addictions and Scar album, it's just Want Me, no period. It's a really, really good album. Some of the new songs that were added from between the two phases are incredible. Fear, Dust, Untouched, which I think they have a music video somewhere around, or I don't think it's – I couldn't find it when I went searching for it. So, but I thought it was a really good album and fantastic. So if you like garbage, check out Addictions and Scars. You can get the album right there on Amazon or actually iTunes too.
Yay,
cool.
And make sure you're looking for Addictions and Scars. Don't look at the other one, because that's not the Red Delicious I'm referring to.
Huh.
And surprise, I didn't actually recommend anything garbage.
I still prefer Stupid Girl. It's not my favorite.
Stupid Girl, there's better songs. It was a great song at the time, but some things like I Hate Love. I love that song. But
Eric.
You know.
Well, my pick is the Supremes, particularly their number one album that came out recently called Number Ones. Obviously, there's nothing new on it since they haven't had a track in 20 years, but it's a 20-song collection. I don't know. Summertime always gets me in the mood for R&B, and I'll admit, other than Erykah Badu, there's not been a whole hell of a lot in the R&B scene I could relate to over the last 10 years, 15 years. So, Little Kim. She's the one that sings about being a whore, right?
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. I never get paid for it, so no, I can't relate. But I love these songs. I love Motown. I love Diana Ross and the Supremes. I love this particular album because, I mean, these are the songs that I think most of us will have grown up listening to on the radio.
Yeah.
So, lots of nostalgia for me.
I love Gary's pick.
Mine, I actually went with an album because for me, music is really hard to pick like a song or a artist that stands out the most. But I thought of this one. The album is called Skylark, based on the song, and the artist is Renee Olstead. And she started I don't think this is her first album. I think this is her second one. The previous one, I think she was like 14 when the album came out, and she had this crazy, amazing, sultry adult voice kind of sound. So this one's nice older classics that she sings. The whole album, I think, is good from beginning to end. So that's why I picked that one.
Huh.
Great. Yeah. Cool. Mine is an earworm thanks to my man, Shane O'Marion. It's Passion Pit, Carried Away. You got to see the video. It's actually pretty interesting. It's just the pitfalls of a relationship and what goes on day to day. And me and Shane have had a few good laughs and a few good cries over this one already. So, yes, I can be emotional.
Soccer.
Yeah, no, right.
Alrighty.
All right, now books.
Books. So I chose it's called Saga, and it's by Brian K., I'm going to say Vaughan. And Fiona Staples. It's a comic book, yes, but it's also, you know, graphic novel that they have out there, and it is ultimately a sci-fi story of these two warring alien races that have been fighting for years, and two members of them fall in love and have a child and all of that stuff. I've only read the first 6 issues, and I'm kind of reading the second half now. I love this thing, and I thank my friend Ben for pointing it out to me. It's...
You're welcome.
Not you.
It's an amazing book. It really is excellent.
Yeah, it is.
I know, and I've been... It's graphic in the sense that it, you know, like there's, you know, nudity and there's, you know, the cussy words and all of that stuff. But it's just this really very well detailed story of that I'm hating that I've only got so many issues. I want to like I'm glad my friend gave me or I bought the first volume, which is the first 6 issues, because I literally sat down and read the whole thing. Like in one sitting almost. Cause it just, I got so drawn into it. So yeah, love it. Love it. So there you go.
Moving on. My pick is actually inspired by chess.
Ha ha ha.
For various reasons. He reminded me of the Watsy books, The Wheel of Time, which just ended. Finally, after however long it's been, with the 14th book, A Memory of Light, was just released. One of the things I do recommend is I actually, look,
get an Audible subscription. One, this is going to save you a shit ton of money, and you're going to love me for this, because if you get an Audible subscription, unfortunately, don't have a code, but I'm sure you can find one. It's like $15. It's like $15 a month, and you get one credit for a book. And these books are one credit.
Use the offer code Dave, DAVE.
Okay.
That's one of the Dave Ramsey advertises them, so just use his.
Okay. And so you get one free book with that code, and then just stay subscribed. And then you go through a year, you know, well, some time, so it's not something that's quick. You go through a year, each month you use your credit to get a book. And you've got all these with Kate Redding and Michael Kramer were the voices of that. And they're amazing on it. And they really bring the book to life audio-wise. But also just reading them, too, is great. So check out the entire Wheel of Time series from Eye of the World to you got to start at Eye of the World and just go right through. You can't just go jump in and memory of light. You're going to be completely lost. So,
Eric,
let me know.
Okay, my pick is Kevin Hearn's series, The Iron Druid Chronicles. This is one of a pulse spattering that we have now of speculative fictions. Huh. Is that what they call it? No, it's supernatural horror mystery genre novels. They've become very popular over the last 10, 15 years. Most people now know the Sookie Stackhouse mysteries thanks to the TV adaption True Blood. They were really kicked off, though, by a man named Jim Butcher, probably about 1999. He wrote about at the time they called it an adult Harry Potter. It was about Harry Dresden, God, I sound like such a dork when I say these things. He's a wizard who publicly advertises in the Yellow Pages. And that was a really good series.
Dresden.
Lots of people know the Dresden Files, too. There was a short-lived TV show. It's got comic books and role-playing games and all sorts of adaptions now. And a very excellent audiobook set read by, what's his name? The guy who played James Marsters. I was going to say Marsden. But James Marsters, who was Spike on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Nice.
He reads all of the books. That being said, that book series, like I said, started in 1999, which means it's now 14 books in. It does one a year. That could be a little bit much for people to catch up on. This is a very similar thing if you're familiar with the Dresden Files books. It's a lot funnier, in my opinion, and it's a lot more laid back of a read. You also get a lot of more different genres than it. I mean, the Dresden Files is always a mystery. It's very formulaic now. You can really see the four parts of every story. In this one, you might have a mystery one time. You might have a romance the next time. You'll have an action book thrown in. There's only, I think he just put out his fifth book now in the series, and there's four short stories. But it's a lot of fun. It's easy to read. It's good summer flick or good summer novels.
Mine is probably one that no one's expecting. It's called.
I saw yours, and I was like, "Really?"
Yeah, it's called "Stiff: The Curious Life of Human Cadavers" by Mary Roach. She was a journalist, columnist, and she's written a series. Well, not a series. She's written a bunch of books. They're not in a series, but they all focus on one particular aspect. And so Stiff is The Curious Life of Human Cadavers. She has another one called Spook, which is about what happens when you die in the afterlife. There's another one called Bonk, which is about sexuality and like sex and stuff like that. So anyways, I found this book very insightful because when my mentor was diagnosed with cancer and she knew that she only had, you know, X amount of time or whatever, I had actually given her the book and she found it very interesting because she had not reconciled within herself what to do when she dies, like if she was going to be buried or cremated or what she was going to do. So she also found the book pretty interesting. So it's kind of one of those, like, you read a book and you're like, wow, this was really interesting. And then you kind of recommend it to other people kind of thing. So, I'll warn you now, it does get a bit graphic because there is a chapter about a body farm, which is actually, I think, in Toronto, which is at a university. And what they study is how the body decomposes in different environments. So it's pretty interesting. It talks about a lot of different things. So.
Huh.
Very cool.
Very cool.
I'm going back to the 80s. You see a theme here? Actually, I'm going back to the late Lawrence Sanders and his novel, The Timothy Files. Timothy Cohn is a Vietnam vet, and he owns a table and three chairs. He sleeps on a mattress on the floor and occasionally drinks from empty jelly jars. Well, he drinks a lot from them. He has a neutered cat named Cleo, and Cleo will eat anything, but he's having a relationship with his boss. He's an investigator for a Wall Street investigation firm. That's automatically telling you, boy, it sounds like it could be set in today's world. But he gets to poke and prod around for what Paul Harvey would call the rest of the story. And this compilation results in the discovery of murderers, defrauders, money launderers, and much, much more. This is basically a series of like three novellas. But it's kind of cool to look at it because you sit there and all three of these are Wall Street crimes that were actually based on real crimes in the 80s. And, of course, you look and you read this book and you go, sweet Jesus, this could be happening today. Things don't change. Things very much stay the same. But this is a good book. He actually had a couple in this series. And, of course, he's been dead since 98. So, you know, obviously nothing new in 20-plus years. Damn. But and by the way, this book is out of print, so you will have to buy it on Amazon or at a good used bookstore.
Huh. There's a nice Kindle edition, it looks like, so.
Yeah.
Digital.
Most of those are still in Kindle, I believe.
Cool beans.
Others. Moving on into others, just kind of random shit.
So okay.
It could reference something in one of the other ones, but it's not quite going
to. So I've been following this thing for a while. This is the... It's a Mighty MMPR, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers fan film. And they had a Kickstarter campaign that started several months ago. And they not only raised the money that they needed, but they raised about 2-3 times more to start. To put it simply, it is a revamping of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, or a continuation or a future story. It's you know, I would consider it fan fiction.
Will you be giving some money to this?
I did not.
Jeff? I'm talking to Jeff.
Hmm? No, I didn't back this.
You want
the Kickstarter is actually over. It ended about a couple weeks ago.
June 28th. So actually, yeah, just a little over a week ago.
Yeah. So, you know, but they raised like 47,000 or something like that. I can't remember. I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, you know, so they're going to get this going. I'm really looking forward to what they're doing with the story and how everything's going to look. Cause you know, it is fan made, but they've got like the voice of the original voice of Zordon, the original voice of Lord Zed. And you know, there's discussion about bringing, Jason David Frank, who played the original, Tommy Oliver character.
Yep, so White Ranger, Green Ranger, Red Zeo Ranger, and the first Red Turbo Ranger, and currently the Black Dino Thunder Ranger.
Yeah.
And if you play your cards right, the Plaid Ranger will make it.
But yeah, so that's where this comes in.
Cool.
Yeah.
I thought Jeff would be all over giving them some money.
Well, no.
Okay. But one thing I did find this week was looking through Comixology, went into the digital only editions and had to catch up on Injustice, Gods Among Us. I had to catch up on Adventures of Superman. I could catch up on Legends of the Dark Knight, and then I see Batman 66. Have you ever wanted to see a comic book of the Adam West days of Batman?
Oh,
this
my.
Is it. It is freaking awesome. It is very cool. So
freaking awesome and Adam West. That's just, that's terrifying.
Yeah, but it's that Batman, it's that style of Batman.
It's the cheesy smack whack pow.
Yay.
Alrighty. And then so the Riddler crashes a party, or a picnic, a big picnic.
Not for the first.
So check out Batman 66. Also, want to say I make the best grilled cheese sandwiches in all the world.
He posts pictures all the time.
Best grilled cheese sandwiches. Although the one I did last night was a little over toasty, but it actually still tasted
over toasty.
It was smoked.
It was a little more done than I wanted to. It wasn't quite burned.
No, it was just a blackened.
It was blackened.
It was blackened. No. I don't think it would go as far as blackened, but
you know, you could charge $5 more.
It was just more done than I normally prefer. But anyway, grilled cheese sandwiches. Easy food.
Aha.
We don't.
Well, my pick was the Games Workshop in Bear, Delaware. I've got to say, I've spent a lot of time in nerd and geek communities, and it's very seldom that you find decent service. Most people who work in these places have their heads so far up their collective asses, and it doesn't matter if it's a music store or a comic book store or a game store or whatever. They're so deep into their own opinion and self-superiority that, you know, they can't really help anybody.
Oh, wow.
They're too busy being down on people. This was the first really, like, good customer service experience I've had in a specialty shop like that. The manager came by, he shook everybody's hands, introduced himself, learned everybody's names. And, you know, admittedly, there were only three of us there, but he had about 8 or 9 other customers at the time. He was extremely helpful, very friendly, and it was just a really good customer service experience, which, you know, is kind of what you need with Games Workshop, because if you're not familiar with the hobby, it is expensive as fuck. It is something you're going to sink at least $500 into to start playing.
And didn't you spend more last time? Isn't that what you were telling us the other night?
Last time I went ahead of myself. This is a hobby where you collect figures that you assemble yourself, paint, prime, and they then are built into armies. And last time I went a little too whole hog. I bought probably about 150 figures worth. And, of course, then got promptly overwhelmed by the fact that I had 150 figures worth of stuff to assemble, sand, prime, paint, and then only got into about 20 figures. So this time I'm only picking up packs of, you know, 2 or 3 figures and taking it slow. But anyway, good experience, and I wanted to throw out, you know, if you're in the area, it's worth checking out.
Somebody's having audio problems.
Last night I happened to watch a documentary that I didn't know about and I enjoyed very much. It's called Comic-Con Episode 4 A New Hope. And it actually I thought was really good. I don't know that much about Comic-Con, but I know people who have gone and have enjoyed it. It's directed by Morgan Spurlock, as in Super Size Me fame, and has a good star cast, Seth Rogen, Eli Roth, Kevin Smith, and a whole series of people. And what's interesting about it is it was made in 2011. The whole point of it was to give a behind-the-scenes look to Comic-Con in San Diego and talk about the fact that it grew from something so many years ago about comics to what it is now. And it follows, I think, 5 different plot lines, 5 different people in like the course of preparing for and attending and going to Comic-Con and what they do. It's really, really interesting. And I highly recommend it to anybody that's, you know, into sci-fi, fantasy, fiction kind of stuff, whether you've gone or haven't gone. It's pretty insightful. I enjoyed it a lot. So
wasn't Will Wheaton, didn't Will Wheaton have a little short thing in that too? Or he was supposed to?
Let's see.
Will Wheaton, I don't remember if he's in it, but Joss Wheaton is in it quite a bit.
Yeah, I know he was. I knew he was in it. But I thought I'd read somewhere that Will Wheaton was either supposed to be in it or was involved somehow. Since he's proven himself as a big old nerd now.
Oh, you think? Yeah.
And well, you know what? He did make it to the end.
This is news?
He still looks incredible, though, for being, what, 41, 42?
Yeah, I mean, he looks amazing. I mean, I watch him practically every week.
And to have a 21-year-old son himself, that's the scary part.
Creepy.
I'm fine to talk.
That part I did not know. About him having a son. So anyways.
Well, it's a stepson.
Yeah, I suggest everyone check it out because it's definitely – and the one thing I really liked about it was that the cover art for the movie is like the front of a comic book, which, hey. I thought was a cute shout out. It's pretty awesome. And two big moments happen in the film. We'll talk about what happens, but you really get – I think the storyline concepts of how they edited and put the movie together – work well because there's two moments specifically when things come together for two of the five people that are being followed. When it happens, you're just kind of like rooting for the nerd, so to speak. It was awesome. I liked it.
Yay.
Well, mine's the scary one this week. I also have Shane to thank for this one because I have now been inducted into the furry fandom. Yay. We won't talk about that until a later episode. But for those of you out there that are furries or into furries or have ever thought about it, just wondered, what the hell's going on here? FurAffinity.net's definitely the place to start. Gives you kind of an idea of what's going on in the fandom. So if you're into that kind of stuff, definitely want to go and check it out. And speaking of which, Eric has a funny story about one.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, Eric. Story about furries?
Yeah, about the one that you saw outside the convention center.
Oh, like, we had our first anime expo here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, April this year, I think it was, or maybe early May. And I didn't know what day it was until we're driving through downtown and we see this 22-year-old boy in a blue fur suit that was smoking a cigarette. But what's really noticeable was the white caked semen up and down the legs of this guy's fursuit he was wearing.
No.
Yes, this number one was not a it was not a furry convention. This was a general anime expo.
Yeah.
Lancaster is not exactly the most liberal of places to start with. I mean, we've got a huge Amish population, huge Mennonite population, and then maybe 20% everybody else.
Nice. Wow.
I'm off on the numbers there, but, you know, just seeing a smoking furry covered in his own soil is just a little heavy for a little bird.
But I would point out that most furries do not allow these things to happen. He must have just...
When they Scotch guard?
He was really... So.
Some do, some don't. It depends on the furry. There's some that do it for sexual interest and gratification, and there are some that don't. It is a fetish, in a sense, yes.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's no different than somebody who's got a shoe fetish or a fetish for jock straps or, you know.
And when in doubt, they do have...
Furry snowflake.
They also do have their own wiki. It's wikifur.com.
Yep.
Cool.
That's another good starting point, too.
Awesome.
And by the way, have y'all ever seen what the cost of a full fursuit runs? Jesus Christ.
I try not to look.
I can honestly say I've never looked.
Shane scared the shit out of me the other night when he was telling me that the one he wants will run him about 2,000 to 3,000 euros. Not even dollars. Euros.
Wow. Alrighty.
Well, you have to be dedicated if you're
Wow.
Either that or know how to sew.
Yeah. That's worse than yours, Eric. At least yours only cost $500 to get started.
Maybe start by getting training by
I can just imagine that trip to AC. And I can just imagine that trip to Michael's Crafts to go and pick up $700 worth of, you know, yellow fur.
And also point out the fact that I actually do know how to sew, and as soon as he found out, he was like all kinds of excited.
I'm starting to paw you digitally.
Pretty hard to do from a paw. It's pretty hard to paw from across the palm.
That's why I said digitally.
No comment.
All righty.
Wow. Iffy.
That's it.
Not bad for a show I just kind of hopped into.
Yeah. That's it. A little longer than we were hoping to do, but that's okay. You play ways to contact us, pop over to cubsoutloud.com, email us at cubsoutloud@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/cubsoutloud, Google Plus at gplus.2/cubsoutloud. Pop over to Bear Underground and enjoy our little group over there. Join our little group over there, as I should say. Also, please pop over to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. Less okay. No matter what, I'll read it on the show. Also, pop over to Stitcher and give us a little thumbs up.
I would ask that if you're going to post something on there, please be as vulgar and nasty as you can, because I want to hear him read it.
Nice.
I want to see if he'll follow through.
Oh, for God's sakes, I read a freaking dead baby joke.
Well, but how long ago has that been?
Anywho.
I know, you're right. But I haven't read anything to the level of a dead baby joke since.
If everybody will please submit a dead baby joke to Bear Underground.
And by the way, you could also just email it to us. I mean,
I think you have to call us at 361-COL-TALK.
No, you can't.
Oh, did you disconnect it?
No, I didn't disconnect it. No one called it!
Damn. Well, that sucks. But at any rate, you can find...
So if you want to call us, you would actually have to pick up your smartphone, click into the voice recording app, record your message, and email it to us. Now, that's a little bit harder than putting in 361-COL-TALK, right?
Yeah,
it's all your damn fault.
Oh, okay? Shit.
Listen to him. Wow. Jeff, I really don't think it does any good to yell at our audience. It doesn't behoove us to get people to like us.
I know. I'm just saying, if you complain, this is my answer.
Haha.
If you don't complain being like, oh, well, I didn't want to call it anyways, I'm not going to send you a voicemail anyways, then, well, that's the reason why we don't have a phone number anymore.
Okay, there you go. So, but if for some reason you want to find me, I'm TatDude806 on Google Plus, and you can find my fabulous channel under that same name on YouTube. And by the way, that's the only reason why the current episodes of Heat Sinks Arcade did not get uploaded, because apparently YouTube's uploader is fucking up. Even the big names like Ray William Johnson is having problems uploading right now. So if he's having problems, you damn well know I am too.
David?
I am TheaterCub79 on Bear 401 or Bear Underground.
Holy shit. Damn you, Eric Patton.
Excuse me, Ben. Other people are talking.
Tell Eric not to post cool things.
And you can find me at GamerWare on Bigger City or under my name, that was Eric Patton. You can ask Ben if you forget, on Google Plus.
Nice.
And I can be found anywhere that I have an account online that I'm interested in being found as GareBear73. It's GareBear73.
And you know what? If you really want to throw people off, go sign up for an Anastasia date account under GareBear73. See what happens. I guess you're not on Lusty Lesbian Lovers now.
There's a lot of sites I'm not on.
No, I'm sorry. I had to interrupt. Eric, that picture is just no.
Alrighty.
Okay. Anyways. So, I think that means...
Is that everything?
Oh, here we go.
Is that it?
Yep. Say goodnight, everybody!
Good night,
everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, what did you say?